We're glad you're here, and I love Christmas. I don't know about you. Christmas is such a special time, and from when we talk about Christmas and some coming to the Christmas season this year, Christmas stirs up so many memories. Some good for you. For some of you, maybe tough memories. Some of you here, maybe your Christmas memories aren't that bright. Some of you, maybe you had great Christmases growing up. Maybe some of you come from families like my family, just a hard-working family, didn't have a lot of money, but seemed to make Christmas special because we were together. And I remember my family, we didn't have a fireplace growing up, and so I just didn't know how Santa was ever going to come see me because I didn't have a fireplace. But it seemed like every year that he would come in the middle of the night, Christmas Eve night anyway, and he would ring our doorbell. And when my sister and I would get up to run to the front door to catch him, my parents had already been saying, bye. They're looking up the sky, and we're like, oh, we missed him again this year. And Dad was like, he comes really fast for those who don't have a chimney. He's like, get in and out really fast. It's like, got to run, son. You got to run, you know. And we just, every year, it seemed to just barely miss him. As we got a little older, we kind of figured some things out, and my dad got a little smarter and started making tracks for the sleigh in our yard. Look at the tracks right there. You can see where he landed. My dad, being an avid deer hunter, had some paws that he'd be out there, you know, and I know it's a little morbid for some of you guys, but anyway, he just, the things he did for his kids. You know, I don't remember that many presents that I got, to be honest with you. I remember a few things that were, if you grew up in Oklahoma, you always got a shotgun given to you. And you know, you just did. You got a shotgun given to you. You got a shotgun one Christmas and ammo the next. You know, it's really cool. And they'd say, go play. Me and my friends, we'd take out shotguns and go to the hills, and we'd play all day with a hands full of ammo and shotguns, you know. It's like, there's no way my kids would ever do that today. I would even let my kids do that, but just a part of growing up back then, and it's the way times were. But Christmas can stir up so many memories, can't they? For some of you here, maybe this is your first Christmas without a loved one. Maybe this is your first Christmas without somebody who has passed on. And so it can stir up a lot of memories and be painful. For some of you here, you grew up and didn't know your parents. Maybe you grew up in foster care. Maybe you grew up passed around from family member to family member. And so Christmas doesn't stir up a lot of good memories for you, because when all the other kids talked about Santa Claus coming to their home, you didn't get much. You were lucky to have anything, and maybe someone was nice to you and did something special for you. So Christmas isn't always cheerful for everybody when it comes to past memories. You know, I was thinking of the past memory of the shepherds on the hills. As we tell this Christmas story today, we see in Luke chapter 2. Look what it says about the angel of the Lord coming to the shepherds on the hills. It says, now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Anyone here ever had a night season that you went through? Anyone here ever had a time when it seemed like things were just at your darkest? These shepherds were just on the side of a hill in the middle of the night. Things are dark and alone to their thoughts. This is what's happening here. Alone in their thoughts, taking care of the flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Isn't that awesome? Think about that there. Isn't it awesome? He says, I'm going to bring you good tidings of joy. He says, for there born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. See, the good news about the Christmas story today, we find it coming to the shepherds on the hillside. It's the same message that comes to you and today and to me today, as in our darkest season, we can pick our head up and celebrate this Christmas season, because the angel of the Lord still appears today and says to us, be of good cheer, for he has brought joy. He has brought joy to your life. You see, as a Christian, we have a joy, a peace, the Bible says, that passes all comprehension. And what that simply means is this, that when things don't seem that the brightest, when things seem like they're really hard in your life, and it's hard to get up a smile, and it's hard to be cheerful about the Christmas season because of pain of Christmas past, today you can have the peace that only God can bring through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Today you can have that peace because he's come to give joy to all men, to all women, to all children today. He has come to bring peace on earth, joy to all of us today. So Christmas, yeah, it's a big deal, because you who walk in darkness can walk in the light. The Savior is born.
For years you've been in darkness, searching for light, searching for hope, searching for a Savior. But do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring joy to all. Today, very near to you, you will find what you've been looking for. Find hope. You will find joy. You will find God. You will find light. Today, a Savior is born.
And you ask me what I want this year, and I try to make this good. Just a chance, and maybe we'll find better days. 'Cause I don't need boxes wrapped in string or designer love and empty things. Just a chance, and maybe we'll find better days. So take these words. And it's someplace simple where we could live, and it's something only you can give, and that's faith and trust and peace while we're alive. And the one poor child who saved this world, and there's 10 million more who probably could if we all just stopped and said a prayer for them. So take these words and sing out loud, 'cause everyone is forgiven.
Savior is born. I love the perspective of the wise men in the story we find in the Christmas story. Matthew chapter 2 talks about the angel of the Lord. Look, it says, now after this, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star far in the east and have come to worship him. We're going to skip to verses 10 and 11. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw a young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and they worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's often been said that wise men still search for the Savior. Wise men today still worship the Savior. You know, I love the story because we hear the story of the birth of in the manger in the stable. And our idea of a stable really isn't the correct version. We see manger scenes in yards and Christmas nativity scenes. And really, if truth be known, according to the times of that day, a stable in that time, the manger was probably just on the side of a cliff somewhere. A little overhang with a fire, kind of a makeshift camp. And it says that the wise men went to seek him, but it says when they found him, look what it says, that they found him where? As a young child in the house. He wasn't in the manger. He wasn't in the stable when the wise men found him. Now I know what Branson says. It all happens at the same time. The nativity story will tell you one thing, but in all actuality, there was some time between his birth of being an infant baby to the point he was a young child when they found him. You see, for many times in our life when we're searching for answers, we give up way too easy. We're searching for answers and we give up way too easy. We don't find the answer we're looking for, and so we quit looking and we give up hope. I'm here to tell you today that don't give up. Hope is here. Hope of the Savior is here today for those who still seek after him. You can still find him. He has not hidden himself from us, but he's there with open arms, waiting to wrap his arms around you of peace, to give you joy, to redeem us, to forgive us, to place us into a right place in relationship with the Father. I love the fact that they brought him these expensive gifts, gold signifying that he was a king. Because only the kings were allowed to have the gold. I mean, that's who carried the gold. The king, and maybe one king would give it to another king. But I mean, that's who had the gold. It was the kings. And so when they brought him gold, it was signifying that he was a king. They had a revelation from the angel of who this Christ child really was. And he was to be a king. frankincense and myrrh was frankincense, something you would find as a very, very expensive perfume. Many times they would use it in their worship time. You could find it in the temples being burnt as a part of worship, signifying that they were bringing him a very high form of worship. Myrrh was something they used to anoint the dead bodies upon burial. They would wrap them and anoint them in myrrh. All these products were very expensive, very valuable, signifying that they were bringing to him the king worship, knowing that at some point he was going to give his life for you and I. Today you ask, what can I bring Jesus? Ever thought about what could you really give Jesus, the birthday boy? What can we really give him today that's really of any value? There's nothing we can buy online. There's nothing we can stand in line for on Black Friday that's going to make him happy. There's only one thing of value that he really wants, and that's you and me. This is what pleases the Savior. This is what value we have to give. To you and me, it may not seem like a lot, but to him, it's exactly what he's asked for. To him, this is why we were created, that we would give our life to him. What's more valuable than your time? What's more valuable than your heart? What's more valuable than your spirit? What's more valuable than your worship? Today, what do you want to give the Savior? He's looking for your worship. He's looking for your life. This is what he's wanting from us. When you seek him and you find him, what will you bring him?
Christmas. It's so complex, yet so simple, and so incredibly beautiful. I think about the wise men, how they came with their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts fit for a king. And I find myself asking, what gift could I possibly offer as I celebrate his birth? I mean, 2,000 years before every mistake I have ever made, every hurt I have ever felt, and every wrong I have ever committed, a Savior was born. A Savior that would heal, perform miracles, and ultimately give his life as a ransom for me. To save my messy life. He gave the gift of himself. So it seems the greatest gift I could give to him would be to just follow his lead, to give him the gift of myself. All of me, my wounds, my sickness, my grief. Everything. When I do that, when I give him the gift of myself, it doesn't stop there. He just keeps giving back. I realize he loves and cares more than I can imagine. I am redeemed by the Savior. All the sin, all the pain, all the mistakes, they're just remnants that died before they ever existed. Thank God for Christmas.
Thank you. can only imagine what it'd be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see in your face as before me. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in love you be still? Will I stand in your presence, to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do forever worship you. I can only imagine that I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Will love you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah. I can only imagine.
As we look at the Christmas story, we know there's no bigger part of the story, and of course, is Jesus' mother Mary. We see in Scripture where it says the angel of the Lord came to her in Luke chapter 1. It says Gabriel came to her and declared that she was going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and she would birth the Savior of the world. And can you imagine being a young girl, a virgin, and the angel appearing to you and saying to you that you're impregnated with the Savior of the world? First of all, I'm sure she was thinking, who am I and why would you pick me? Why would you choose to use me to bring in the Savior of the world? And I'm sure quickly after she thought about all the joy that came with being picked to be Jesus' mother, reality began to set in, and she began to think about, well, wait a minute here. What are people going to say? My fiance, who I do not know in a sexual manner, is going to ask me, how did you get pregnant? And I'm going to tell him, it's the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be like, say what? The Holy who? What are you talking about? The Holy Spirit. I love the fact that even though she was full of excitement, she at the same time had to be gripped with fear. Her reputation on the line. We know how hard it is today to go through something like this, more or less 2,000 years ago, when a time it was just not accepted at all. And she was going to have to tell people she was impregnated, and they had to believe that she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And of course, the angel also appeared to Joseph to confirm this, because nobody in the right mind would believe this unless God really spoke to them. And so here's Mary having to go through the pain of being the outcast, having to flee their country with Joseph, and everybody looking at him in a scandalous way. Poor couple, poor couple, poor couple. Poor kids. They say it's the Holy Spirit, but we all know what really happened. We all know what really went on. The pain of having your name scarred, your reputation ruined. But you know what? I love this very much about our Savior, that He came in a scandalous way. Because you and I, when it comes to it, down to it, really, that's how you and I live our life, isn't it? That people really knew things about us in our past. If people really knew who we were. And some of you here today, you think that. Pastor, if you only knew my past, if you only knew the person I really was, you would know I could never be a Christian. I could never serve God. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus was born, even though He was born in a way that was pure and holy. At the same time, He knows what it is that His mom and dad had to walk through a scandalous situations, where people talked about them, where people accused them, misunderstood them. So today, you're in good company. You're in good company because Jesus specializes in people with scandalous past. All the way from Zacchaeus to the woman caught in adultery. Jesus loved people who failed miserable. All the way from His disciples. Jesus loved people who didn't have it all together. Today, this baby came, changed the world. This baby came and changed everything. This baby came to bring life, to bring hope, to bring peace.
Teenage girl, much too young, unprepared, what's to come? A baby changes everything. Not a ring on her head, all her dreams and all her plans. A baby changes everything. A baby changes everything. The man she loves, she's never touched. How would she keep his trust? A baby changes everything. A baby changes everything. She cries, ooh, she cries, oh, well. coming soon. It's your place. There's no room. A baby changes everything. A baby changes everything. And she
Man, I wonder what it was like to really be born in a manger.
I know, right? I wonder what ever happened to baby Jesus.
He grew up.
Wait, you're telling me that the baby Jesus from the Christmas story is the same baby Jesus as the adult walk on water Jesus?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I never really put those two concepts together. Wow. Well, I wonder whatever happened to that guy.
He went to the cross.
That's the same guy?
Yeah.
Baby Jesus is the same as cross Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, he grew up. I mean, there's some time in there. You know, he grew up. He taught people. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He came back to life, you know? And now he lives in our hearts.
That's the same guy? The Jesus that lives in our hearts?
Yeah.
This is really... Okay. I guess I just didn't put two and two together. This is... Whew! Wow. Merry Christmas, Denver. I guess we should just try to view Christmas instead of one isolated event and more of an ongoing story about our salvation.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Great idea.
That's funny, isn't it? But really, to many of us, it's so true because we see Jesus as such a small child, but we never place him in the place of the Messiah. Yeah, it's important as we drive down and we see the baby Jesus in the manger scenes this Christmas, as we see the lights, as we hear the holiday music, that we realize and remember this was a Jesus. Not just a baby Jesus, but the Jesus who came. And he called the multitudes and disciples together, and he taught them that true Christianity had nothing to do with religion. It had everything to do with a relationship with the Father. He came to show that a relationship with Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven. The only way to pure happiness was through a pure relationship with Jesus Christ. He came and this baby Jesus grew up to have compassion on the multitudes. It says that wherever he went, the crowds would come, and he was moved with compassion. Don't you love that about our Savior? That's his very nature, is compassion. At the very core of who he is, a flood of compassion comes out of him. Whether it was a person who was caught in adultery, or the person who was the outcast of society, the person who was lame, the person who was blind, he was moved with compassion. Whether it be the friends who had lost a loved one, and he goes to the grave and he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And that which had been dead for 3 days comes back to life. Yes, this is that same baby Jesus who grew up and did miracles, who spoke to the sea to be calm. But I guess his greatest miracle had to be that this Savior would willingly lay down his life on the cross when he had the power to call up 10,000 angels to come in his defense. He willingly laid down upon the cross to be a sacrifice for you and I, to take the sins of the world upon his back. Every stripe that was upon his back, every piercing of the nails in his hands and feet. This is the same baby Jesus. I wonder, did Mary really know that baby Jesus she was holding would grow up to take her sins, my sins, your sins, and to take them to the cross? Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child you delivered would soon deliver me. Blind man, Mary, do you know to know your baby is Lord of all creation. Mary, do you know that your baby girl will one day be a nation? The great I am.
Question is today, who is the Messiah to you? Who's the Messiah to us today? For many people, he's a life-changing Savior who's redeemed and forgiven us of our sins. For others, he's just a part of the Christmas story, something we've heard growing up, something we've done as just a part of the season. Christmas, Easter, we include Jesus into our talk. We even go to church on those days. But really, is Jesus, the Messiah, is he really connected to our everyday life? You see, it was the Messiah who came. When Jesus came, he was not accepted by his own people. The Jewish nation didn't accept Jesus as the Messiah, because they believed the Messiah would come in such a royal fashion, as royalty, bringing a physical kingdom upon this earth. That how could this king come back and be born on the side of a hill next to a fire? Born a carpenter's son, a maidservant. See, they couldn't accept him because he didn't come back the way they thought it would be. They expect him to come back like Prince William. I mean, when the royals get married, how many of the world watches? People take off work, sit their DVRs, they get up 2 o'clock in the morning to watch those weddings, don't they? The whole world watches royalty. There's something that fascinates us with royalty. But he chose not to come this way. Why? Because you and I, we can't relate to that, really. I can't relate to people who live in palaces. But I can relate to people who struggle to find a place of shelter for the family. I can relate to those who know a carpenter. I can relate to a baby being born, the pain of childbirth. We can relate to these things because Jesus didn't come to scare us. He came to love us, to teach us, to relate to us, so that we can understand and accept the gospel message. So the question is really in your plate today. What do you believe today? We believe today that one child came. One child came to change the world, to change our relationship, that Christmas is all about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's all about the Savior came to change the world.
One, and Mary believed the word she received of God's only Son. The Virgin rejoiced, gave thanks to the Lord, and as Joseph dreamt, the angel was sent with tidings of peace and joy of the blessed baby boy. Traveled for miles to reach Bethlehem, but when they arrived, no one could provide a place at the inn for them. But God kept them safe from hurt, harm, and danger in His warm embrace, away in a manger, waiting for Jesus' birth. To glorify the earth, then He came
to change the world. Christmas morn, the King of all kings was born. He reigns forevermore. Let us worship.
They travel far as heaven and home rang up for the Savior. The sweet Prince of Peace lay majestically asleep, glorious and pure, and His mercy endures for always.
One child can change the world. Christmas.
Question is yours today. Who do you say He is? Is He your Messiah? Is He your Savior? I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads this morning. No one's looking around but me. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, you're talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ, and today I know that I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today I want to enter into that relationship you're talking about. Nobody's looking but me, and I will not embarrass you in any way at all. I want to give you a chance here today. If you've never prayed the sinner's prayer before, asking Jesus into your life, or maybe you prayed it a long time ago, but you say, today I want to come back, and I've been away from God for a long time in my life, and today I want to come back and renew my relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you today, can you just raise your hand high where it's at, where I can see it? Nobody's looking but me. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. You want to join these today? Raise it high where I can see it. So I want to pray that prayer today, asking Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these today? We're going to say this prayer together. We're going to say it together out loud. You're going to repeat after me, especially us as Christians. We're going to say it with you today. Let's repeat this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I accept you into my heart today. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart this morning, we say welcome to the family of God. Let's give him a hand, yeah. If you prayed that prayer today, before you leave, we have an information booth in the back, and it's got a Bible and some other things we want to give you today. Stop by there and say, man, I'd like to have one of those packets. Be sure to get it to you this morning. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you involved in a church home. But today, peace on earth. See, this is the awesome thing about a relationship with Jesus Christ, is that he brings peace to us today. And he brings peace to you and I. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, and they ring out what? Peace on earth. Goodwill to all men.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play. And rhyme and sweet their songs repeat. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing. In despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth I see, for it is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the bells are ringing with above the ringing. The light the angels singing. Open up your hearts and hear them. We serve the
job. All you children look very nice. Good job. You didn't burn anybody. Isn't that great? Yeah. My kids were watching Home Alone 2 the other night and got a great idea for the Christmas choir. I had to make sure they didn't do that. Repeat that scene. You got some of you guys seen that movie this Christmas. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. Anyway, we're glad you were here today. I must appreciate all the musicians and singers this morning. They did an awesome job. Yes. Word of God says that when even one person accepts the Lord as a Savior, that there's a party going on in heaven. That's what it says happens. And today we know not only people here, but around the world are giving their heart to Jesus this Christmas season. There's a party going on. We're going to close with this musical. They've been working a long time. It's called The Light. Come on, guys. Let's rock the house one last time. All right.